this session, we are dealing with the relationship between the mind and the heart. And I take as our starting point Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then the next verse is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. The human frame is so complex. Man is not just body, blood, and bones, or flesh. He has an immaterial part, his soul. And the soul is so vital. And right from the beginning, the divine cardiologist, the Lord who searches the heart and tests the mind, came at the bedside of man. And the diagnostic was irrevocable. Man rebelled himself against his creator. And the consequences, the wages of sin, is death. The medical act was identified. The cause and consequences of man's death are examined, expounded, and explained throughout the scriptures. Is there an unmistaken prescription to cure man's plight, man's greatest plight and need? There must be one. But for one to be, it must not be, and it could not be man-made. It has to come from God, because man, from cover to cover, has proved himself to be a total failure. There at Calvary, God in his mercy and grace has provided a sure and solid salvation, an anchor for our souls, a whole armor to protect us. We live today in a feeling good society, but for believers, those who have repented from their sins and have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to walk by faith, not by sight. And believers and non-believers alike face diverse, manifold, and colorful trials, troubles, and temptations. We all get down, moody, and depressed. But the question is, how will the church help? Can the church help? What methods, what programs are we going to use to help believers in their daily trials? And our texts, Proverbs 4, verse 23, Romans 12, verse 2, Jeremiah 17, verse 10, and a whole string of so many texts throughout the scriptures, they come as a sounding tocsin, as a wake-up call about the state of our minds and hearts. So keep your heart, guard your mind, watch your mind, watch your heart. And everything hangs on one key theological point. Man is a fallen creature. The fall of man, right there in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Man created innocent with a pure heart and a sound mind, defied his creator. He defied God. He rebelled against God. And God cannot close an eye upon our disobedience to his holy, royal, and perfect law of liberty. That is why we read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great. Every imagination of the thoughts of man was only evil continually. And we read that the heart of God was grievous. God was grieved in his heart. And certainly, we will all agree that what grieves the heart of man must be horrible and terrible. Sin has affected every one of our faculties, our minds, our hearts, our wills, our consciences. Every department, every part of us has been deteriorated and degenerated because of sin. And sin is so bad and deadly that actually in the Bible with 1,189 chapters only, perhaps, I think I cannot be that dogmatic, but only Genesis chapter 1 and 2 do not mention sin and sinners. Otherwise, from cover to cover, we are reminded the state of our minds and the state of our hearts. And again, sin attacks our desires and thoughts. It gradually rots away our character. And worst of all, sin makes us to be repulsive in God's sight. So our greatest need, and I will emphasize on that in this session, our greatest need is not really more power, more success, more influence, or to have 1 million of followers or so-called friends. But our greatest need is to receive the forgiveness, to receive freely, by grace, unmerited, undeserved favor, the forgiveness of our sins, because our problem is moral and spiritual. How important it is to set our minds and hearts right on the right things. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, God said to Adam, "Adam, where art thou?" He didn't ask him, "How art thou?" Because the condition, the state of our hearts, where we are now, right now, in relation to the living God, will also determine where and how we are. So let me bring before you those three faculties which has been deteriorated and degenerated because of sin. Sin affects every one of our faculties. The first one, the mind. The mind is the control tower. And this is why, don't let anyone bypass your mind. Do not let a religion, do not let a philosophy, do not let a preacher bypass your mind. The mind must be informed in order to inform the heart. A heart without a seeking mind won't find the Lord. And the mind is the palace of faith. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So the mind is the control tower, but the mind is also the palace of faith. Every decision, every choice we make, the brainwashing, the bombarding we receive day after day, all the toxic news and thoughts we have, they all come to our minds. Sin takes place in our minds. And what you do, what you have rehearsed in your mind. And that is why your mind is not just your brain. It is not just the neurons in your head or just a transmitter in your mind. The mind is more than that. The mind is your inner man. The mind is your whole being and personality. What you think and think about in your life will either destroy you, defile you, or protect or edify you. This is the only choice we have when it comes to the mind. An anti-God person, we read in the Bible, has a reprobate mind. God warns him, pangs his conscience, but in his stubbornness, he denies even the existence of God. God gave him up. And that person was given a reprobate mind. The carnal mind is hostile to God. And the believer, my dear friends, is to be governed by a sober mind, by a sound mind. This is a key point also throughout the New Testament. A believer, the soundness of mind, the soberness of mind is so important. Christians are not only to be sober-minded, but in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are to be of one mind. And the command given to us is to love the Lord our God with all our mind. Second, the heart. And I will say much about the heart in this session. In Bible times, there was no disjunction between the heart and the mind. Actually, the heart represents more than just an organ or our feelings. You think with your heart, because your whole being is from your heart, being the core, the fountain, and the source of who we are. In Proverbs 27, verse 19, we read, "As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man." So your heart is the real you. It is your character. It is your inner man. It is your personality. Your heart drives you as an engine drives a car. Your actions, your thoughts, your dreams, your ambitions, your plans, your schemes, all these things come from your mind and your heart. Your heart, again, is your inner ear. You hear with your heart. The heart governs our emotions, but we also deny, unfortunately, God with our hard and impenitent hearts, we read in Romans chapter 1. And the psalmist could say, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." So your kidneys, your guts, your bowels are the seat of passions and anger. That is your heart also. Who can say, "I have made my heart pure. I am pure from my sins"? And the Bible has so much to tell us about the heart. At least 800 times the heart is mentioned throughout the scriptures, in the Psalms, especially in the book of Proverbs, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, throughout the parable of the sower, or the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, throughout the epistles of Paul, throughout the New Testament, we read so much about the heart. My dear friends, Christ said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart is." So without Christ, the human heart is like a sinkhole. Everything goes in, everything comes in. Sin begins with a thought and a desire in the heart. We read that in James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. Because from the heart cometh, from the heart derives lusts, adultery, murder, jealousy, covetousness, idolatry, and so on. From the heart flow the springs of life, Mark chapter 7, Luke chapter 6. Oh Lord, the psalmist said again, and this should be really the prayer of every believer, "Search my heart, create in me a clean heart." And remember, our hearts, as Calvin said, are a factory of idols. Flee idolatry. The believers should be asking the Lord to answer his prayers in that regard. The third, after speaking about the mind, the heart, now is the will. Because what controls your mind and your heart will decide your will. And here is a very important application. Don't wait to feel before you obey the Lord. Obey, and the feeling will follow. Here then is the order, really, the chain of command. First of all, the mind consider a matter. Then the heart, meaning our feelings and affections, follow. And the will is activated, and so the deed results. That's the chain of command. Mind informed. The mind informed informs the heart. And the two now, mind and heart, activate the will and the deed result. When this order is disrespected or not respected, it leads to an unbalanced life. And this is why we are in great troubles. But when this order is respected, our life is a spirit-filled life, as with Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The heart, the mind, and the will are meant to work together in harmony and strengthen and support one another. But sin has turned them against one another so that we are opposed. We oppose ourselves. We do not do what we want or what we are supposed to do to please the living God. And in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, we read that our hearts are divided because we are irresolute in our actions and determination. But I want to be back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It reads again, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Can you see? Every word in this verse is so important. We are given a command, keep your heart with all diligence, the how. But we are also given the cause or the reason, for out of your heart are the issues of life. Oh, my dear friends, we live in a world again today where hearts seek after self-pleasure. The heart is seeking after health, after wealth, after ease, after pampering, the here and now. But the heart must be restrained. The heart must be tamed. Physically, we are told that heart disease is the leading cause of death. So for the willing, even for the well-being of our hearts, we are told to eat well, to exercise, to avoid too salty, too greasy, and too sweet. But remember, you have also a spiritual heart. The beating organ pumping blood in your cavity will one day stop. But the spiritual heart God has given to you, which is your soul, will never stop. If we care for things that are just temporal, how much more we should care for our eternal souls? For what shall it benefit? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? More than what goes into our bellies, watch what comes out of our mouth. The health of your heart depends on the fear of the Lord. And in Proverbs, in Psalm 37, verse 31, we read, "The law of the Lord is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." You see the importance of your heart, of keeping your heart. That is why, leave no room for bitterness in your heart. Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. If Satan can correct your heart, he will corrupt your life, as he did with Ananias in Acts chapter 5. Satan twisted and corrupted Ananias' heart, and he lied to God the Holy Spirit. And this is why, my dear friends, the Bible is not just about correcting a habit, or it is not about reforming myself. It is not about taking good resolutions or having good intentions. The Bible is about transformation of the mind, transformation, the renewal of the mind, renewal of the heart, having been given a new nature and a new heart. And we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, "Preaching Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." That is the purpose of the church, and the purpose of preaching, and the purpose also of so-called counseling. And it says, with all diligence, keep thy heart with all diligence. Get involved. Let no one do it for you, and stop blaming other people. We are in a society of so many blame shifting. But I'm responsible before God. not blaming the society and blaming nobody else, but I blame myself because I'm responsible. I'm the cause of my own sins. I'm the cause of what is happening in my life. That is why nowhere God says believe whatever you want. What you believe will certainly impact and influence your life and your mind and your heart and your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you believe, what you put in your mind and your heart is so important. We could be hard of heart. So that is why, don't lose heart, believer, and don't lose your heart. That is your soul. If you believe in your heart, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, have a good heart, we read in the parable of the sower. It's all about the heart, that parable. Oh, let the word of God fall in good soil that will bring many fruits to the glory of God. Your heart is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we love Calvin. Here is Calvin's life motto. His life motto was a heart in a hand given to God, asking God to take his heart promptly, but also sincerely giving his heart to the living God. Out of the heart, we read, are the issues, the outgoing, the pumps of our lives. So guard, keep the heart, watch, protect, preserve, attend, nourish your heart. An unkept heart is a lost heart. It is so easy for the heart to grow cold, to be indifferent. Oh, keeping your heart will make to want to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord with a holy zeal. And the more I set my heart on heavenly things, the more I love him, I love the Savior, and my assurance is grounded. Thanks be to God for conversion. In my simple mind, I see that many believers are not yet appreciative of the power of conversion. Because with conversion, God writes his law in our hearts. With conversion, God writes his law in our minds. He gives us new hearts and new minds and new nature. With conversion, God circumcises our hearts and the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts. What do you put in your mind daily? What do you put in your heart daily? What people think of me, is that one of your worries? Oh, what do people think about my appearance? What should really bother every one of us is what does the living God think about me. So that is why never surrender your mind to the world, but be renewed, be fortified in your mind, and please the Lord. Build fortified walls, fences of defense to protect your mind and your heart. And we come to another aspect of this session where I would like to give you some practical aspects about those fortified walls, those fences for protection in order to keep your mind and to guard your heart, pleasing the Lord and grounding your assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me list them for you very quickly. The first one, for a sound mind, to keep the mind, to keep the heart, you need to exercise faith. Oh, remember the promises of God. They will never fail. We are given great and precious promises, we read in the Word of God. And all these promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. It is unbelief that is terrible. Chase, cast away unbelief from your heart. It takes our hearts, it deprives us. Oh, keep a campaign in your mind and in your heart of trusting the Lord, whatever comes. Number two, pray without ceasing. Prayer is so important. The fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Pray for grace, pray for sufficient grace, pray for more grace, fervent and earnest prayer. Mortify the flesh, mortify sin. Set your affections on high. Pray for others. Have a ministry of intercession. Pray for practical wisdom, not just to fill your head with information, but make your heart to learn and apply your heart to wisdom. Number three, set your heart on learning of Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Christ said, "Learn of me, I'm meek of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." So we learn of Christ, we hold on to him, we study his doctrines, we do not separate doctrine and practice. That will be a big mistake. The two walk hand in hand and have a great and deep desire for spiritual things. Number four, serve other people. Oh, my dear friends, freedom, happiness, renewal comes by serving the Lord and by serving other people. An outgoing care for others is so important. Enlarge your heart with the Lord and his people. And remember the one another text in the New Testament. There are about 60 of them. You can learn them. You can learn them. You can remember them and apply them in your daily walk. And let us not weary in well-doing for other people. Number five, self-discipline is so vital. Oh, give no way to the devil. Flee any appearance of evil in your life. Keep a godly routine. It will save you from many mistakes. Number six, self-examination. Let your conscience always be alert about sin. Ask yourself, How am I doing about obedience? How am I doing about service? How am I doing about instrumentality, about fruitfulness? That is why I should be diligent about the seven graces listed for us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Help number six, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord daily, a powerful antidote to spiritual depression. A thankful heart, my dear friends, will not go wrong for too long. And that is why we need, in giving thanks to the Lord, to redeem the time, to look to Christ, to look to heaven more often than we do with thanksgiving. We meditate on the cross of Calvary. We meditate upon the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. Number eight, speak often, reason with your soul. Psalm 42 and 43. My soul, why are you downcast? I speak, I reason with my soul in order to trust in the Lord to lift me up. Don't let your thinking get you down. Let the word of God be the gateway to your mind and to your heart. It is the best antidote against our erring heart. Thy word I have hid in my heart, we read in Psalm 119. Man shall not live by bread alone. Or have a regular conference with God, as the Puritans will put it. Keep your heart from evil influences, from wandering, from pride, from despair, from bitterness, and from self-pity. Keep your heart from unforgiveness. An unforgiven heart will never be charitable and will never find peace. Number nine, keep your service for the Lord and don't give up. Don't give up. Every believer is a servant. No service, no blessing. Faithful in little, we are given much. Oh, commit yourself. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate your heart with divine wisdom to the living God. Let these things not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. We read in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 21. And the tenth help is avoid isolation. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Loneliness, my dear friends, is harmful. Strengthen keep your communion with the Lord and his people. And never say to yourself, as some do, I need some space. No, fellowship is protective. It will help you. We read it in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. We need one another. We need the brethren. Surround yourself with the saints. Number 11, learn to be content. Like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, contentment, godliness with contentment is a mega gain. It is a great gain. And warn yourself only in the service of the Lord. Be worried for nothing else. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. But in all things, make your need known to God by prayer, by supplication, by thanksgiving again, and certainly the peace of God will be with you. And the last one, divert your thoughts. We read it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. And these two verses have been called Paul's trash removal service. Fill your heart with the right data. Wrong thinking, wrong feelings, and wrongdoing will harm your life. Get rid of the nauseous junk. Put it off and apply the put on and put off in your daily walk with the Savior. Oh, my dear friends, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. And Proverbs 4, verse 23, again the verse says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In times of trial, in times of temptations, in times of prosperity, idle times when you are doing nothing, when nobody's watching, keep safe the gates to your mind, heart at all times. Preserve the citadel of your soul. This is the principle of sanctification, of holiness. Protect every orifice in your life. As I close, look at the orifice, the gateways that we are called to protect here in Proverbs chapter 4 in the context of our verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. So verse 20 to 27, and I list four of them very quickly. The first one in verse 20, the gateway, the doors to your mind and to your heart to be protected. So this is the citadel of your soul, the orifice to protect. The first one, protect your ears. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. God is speaking from heaven. I must be quick to listen and quick to obey. The second one in verse 21 and verse 25. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So the second after the first, your ear, protect your ears. The second, your eyes, avert your gaze. The light of the body is the eye. The eyes are windows to the soul. You remember Job, the righteous Job, the just Job, the godly man. He asked God, he made a covenant with his own eyes. In Psalm 101, David said he will not put anything wicked before his eyes. The eyes are windows to the soul. Remember that. In the Garden of Eden, Eve saw, Achan saw, David saw, and we speak about the lust of the flesh, but also the lust of the eyes. Number 3, the gateway, the orifice to guard and to protect. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and preserve and perverse lips. Put far, far from thee. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. So watch your mouth and your lips. Monitor your mouth. Avoid toxic, devious, and perverse talks. Avoid gossip, because out of the abundance of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, David again said, set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Remember, my dear friends, the damage done by our tongues. You just read James chapter 3 later and you will see it is very edifying. Seek for wisdom, edifying word, winsome words as you speak. And the fourth given to us in verse 26 and 27, Proverbs chapter 4, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right or nor to the left. And remove thy foot from evil. So number one, your ears. Number two, your eyes. Number three, your mouth and lips. And number four, watch your feet. Watch where you go. Remember the damage again. Watch where you go in your daily walk. When under stress, when under pressure, where do you run to? Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and finds rest and safety. So we run to the Lord, not to anything else. But I close with two verses. The first one is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And we read there, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Oh, my dear friends, Isaiah 26, verse 3 tells us that the peace of God removes despair, resentfulness, anxiety, self-pity, sinful behavior. It stops unwanted thoughts. It gives serenity to the mind and to the heart. Banish silly and shallow things in your life. Be mature, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean to be gloomy, but don't be a lightweight person on spiritual matters. And the last verse I would like to put before you is 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So God knows our heart. He knows the state of our hearts. Oh, blessed are you if your heart is not condemning you. But I know daily my heart is condemning me when I sin, when I live from the living God. And that is why when we reject God, everything goes. And disobedience can cause unbalanced physical life for every person of us. Keep your heart, and God will keep your heart. Look forward to be with the Lord. The shape of your heart cannot be filled with the shape of this world. Oh, my dear friends, as I close, keeping these things in mind will change your walk. It will change your look at. It will change what you look at, what you gaze at. It will change your company, and it will keep the health of your flesh. We read it here in Proverbs 4, verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Our lives are restless without Christ. Keeping the mind and the heart is hard work, but it is so rewarding. The reward is so great. Now, God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Amen.